Good morning. I'm the visiting speaker this morning. I thought about it while Brother Jeremy was sharing in the beginning how much comings and goings there are in this place. And it's good. It's right. And what blesses me the most is that while there's much comings and goings in this place is still here. It's still here. And I believe that's the way the early church was. I believe there was much comings and goings in the early church, but there it was, always there. And I know that that's what God's heart is for every church. May God bring us all there. I wonder if all of us parents were listening this morning. I don't know if did you catch that education that we got while we were listening to what the young people are going to experience when they're in Africa. I hope that we were listening, because you know, we can make that whole list up there, you know, we can make it a whole lot easier on our young people if we'll have some of that in our own minds while we are raising them. Then they don't have to get it all like a shock treatment when they get over to Africa. We do them a great favor and many great favors if we can guide them that way before they go there. And you children, you do yourself a great favor if you allow your parents to guide you a bit that way. It will be to your benefit in the days ahead. Well, I thought it would be good for me just to give a very, very short report of our trip. We've been gone for 2 months, so I thought I'll express our short little trip with these words. It was a rigorous journey. Number two, it was full of blessings. And number three, we learned a lot about ourselves. And of course, I wrote these things down before Jeremy's little instruction to us this morning. I'm not sure if I could call it such a rigorous journey after I listened to Jeremy for the last 1 hour. Maybe it wasn't so bad, huh, Mom? But we covered about 7,000 miles on our trip, about 140 hours of driving time. And as I looked back over the trip and some of the difficulties and the challenges that we had, I was thinking before Jeremy's sharing that maybe we planned too much and had too many places to stop on the trip. But I'm not sure about that now after listening to Jeremy. It was a bit of a missionary journey for us, but it was good for us. We found ourselves, if you can remember what it's like, to go through a weekend of meetings. I mean, we all know how we feel after a weekend of meetings is over. You know, I mean, Monday you crash, right? But we did a weekend of meetings 7 times, you know, and I'm not complaining about that. I love it. But it was rigorous. It had its challenges to it, and we were very tired on Monday. But I want to quickly say that it was also full of blessings, souls being saved, hearts being stirred, meeting old friends, getting acquainted with new friends. And I thought about this morning, you know, it's such a joy and a blessing to be home and to be here this morning. But as I was reflecting on what I should say this morning, my mind went back years ago when I used to come home and say, you don't know what you have here. But you know, as the years have gone by, I'd have to say that I found this in many places where we went. And this we rejoice in. There was a day when there was none of that. And we treasured something that very few people had. But I'd have to say that we found this as we traveled. Oh, not as many as this. No, the churches are not this big. But we found churches who are finding it a blessing to be together, who are experiencing the grace of God and enjoying the Word of God week by week and the fellowship of the saints. So our trip was full of blessings, so many I cannot number. But thirdly, we also learned about a lot about ourselves. And I thought again about Jeremy's words up here. That's kind of the same way it was. You know, we very much like a missionary or a mission field experience, we lived in a 10 by 30 foot space for 2 months. And, you know, some of you may think, oh, wouldn't it be fun to go in a motorhome down the road? But if you stop and think about it, 10 feet wide by 30 feet long is not a whole lot of space for 6 people to live in. And all those many, many things that Jeremy was describing to us, those kind of things happened all the time in 2 months' time. And you just learn to give and give up again. And say, excuse me, and things get a little sore here, and you have to work this out, and all those things happen in 2 months' time. And we learned in fresh and new ways how much we need the Lord in our everyday life. And that's exactly what the Sense School is all about. It's designed to do those very things. And I like the word that Jeremy said there, kind of forced you or forced them into a deeper walk with God. And that missionary life will do that, by the way. It will force you into a deeper life with God. And I would say that we also had some of those challenges on our trip, and I'm very grateful for them. We need them. Also, one more thing before I get into the message. If you can just share a happy announcement with us this morning. For some time, especially the last 2 months, we have been working on a courtship at our house. And last 2 months, we've been working on it quite a bit. And we find ourselves in the place where we're ready to make that announcement of a courtship between our daughter Hannah and Ralph Cowan. Brother Klaus and Sister Geraldine, that's Ralph's parents, as you know, they're in Africa, and they are also listening this morning. I'm not sure what technology they had to use to listen in, but they are also listening in this morning, and we're just asking you to rejoice with us, these two families, as we sense the leading of the Lord in a courtship. And we would ask you for your prayers for us and also for Brother Ralph and Sister Hannah as they continue to seek the Lord and God's will for their lives. So rejoice with us this morning. All right, we'd like for you to open your Bibles now to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, one of the assignments that was given to me in one of our weekend of meetings was to preach on the faith of the patriarchs. I see that Joel Martin is here this morning, and I think he's the one that gave me that assignment, to preach on the faith of the patriarchs. And so, I felt the Lord allowing me to share with you on that subject this morning. But I'd like for us first to just bow our heads and close our eyes for a word of prayer. Can we do that? And then we'll get into this message in Hebrews chapter 11. Shall we pray? Ah, Lord God, worthy art Thou, Lord. Worthy art Thou to receive glory and honor and wisdom and power and strength. Father, we acknowledge that You have all of those things and we have none of it. But, O Father, we ask You again this morning that You would extend to us some of that wisdom, some of that power, some of that authority, some of that strength, God. Extend to us some of those things which belong only to You. Father, we ask You to draw our attention, Lord, into these Scriptures and illuminate them, dear Father, that we might understand and know and discern the will of God for each and every one of our lives. God, I pray that You, by Your Spirit, will make this message practical in that way that only You can do. Yes, Lord, to each and every one of us here, make it personal and practical. Father, we ask You for the gift of Your Holy Spirit that we might prophesy in Jesus' name. Amen. In the book of Hebrews, in chapter 11, we find a list of the patriarchs. This list by no means is exhaustive. You know, some have said that Hebrews 11 is a list of the heroes of the faith, and others have called it Faith's Hall of Fame. And while I agree that the men and women that are listed here in Hebrews chapter 11, they are heroes of the faith, and they certainly belong in Faith's Hall of Fame, this list is not exhaustive. These are not the only heroes. These are not the only ones that belong in God's Hall of Fame. These are just a few that God, by His Spirit, breathed out to give to us as examples that we might grasp the deeper reality of what made these men and women what they are. God is not necessarily focusing on them just for their sake, but rather He's focusing on them that we might see what faith does in the heart and lives of human beings just like you and I. That's what we want to look at here this morning as we look at the list of the patriarchs. But before we look into some of these things, I'd like us just to read part of this chapter. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. We find these words. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. The elders obtained a good report from God. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made with things which do appear. We believe that this morning, don't we? We believe that. We believe in creation as we sit here today. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Imagine that translation. That happened because of Enoch's faith, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him, God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and must believe that He, God, is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, Abraham obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Moving over just some here to verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses, by faith, esteeming the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Drop down to verse 32. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who, through faith, subdued kingdoms. Grasp what he's saying there. Subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong by faith, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. By faith, others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. By faith they were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted. They were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. And I just love this little parenthesis there. Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And they did it by faith, brothers and sisters. They did it by faith. And these all having obtained a good report. A good report. Through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. Yes, that's quite a list of patriarchs. That's quite a list of actions that took place because there were men and women who lived by faith. That's quite a list. Abel, the first martyr, was persecuted by faith, Enoch walked with God, and God took him. And I believe that he knew in his heart that the day would come when God would take him away. He did that by faith. By faith he walked. By faith he walked with God, day after day after day. And one day, God took him. And it all happened because of his faith. By faith, Noah literally saved the human race because he was willing to live by faith. And by faith, Abraham became the father of many nations. Yes, the faith of the patriarchs does some powerful life-changing things. We've seen that as we look down through this chapter. But it's important for us to go deeper than just looking at what faith did. This morning I'd like to look at the faith that caused these men and women to do what they did. Because that is what we need for our own hearts and our own lives. We want to examine this faith which was so effectual and consider this morning several elements of this faith. Now, this faith is whole. It stands by itself. It is the substance of things hoped for. But for the sake of our understanding this morning, I'd like to take it apart, so to speak, so that we can look at it from several different angles. Maybe we could use the illustration of holding up a diamond. You know, you take a diamond and you hold it up and you can turn it many different ways, and it's the same diamond, but you see the blue hues coming out over here, and you see the red hues over here and yellow over here, and all the different beautiful hues of a diamond you see as you look at it from many different angles. And that's the way I'd like to look at this faith of the patriarchs this morning. It is one faith. It is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. But we want to, as it is, dissect it this morning and consider several elements of the faith of these patriarchs. Faith, number one, is the witness of God in the heart. We see that so clearly in Hebrews chapter 1, that faith is the substance or the assurance or the confidence of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Faith is evidence in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Faith is something, it's evidence, it is substance, though it is not something that you can see. It is something that you sense within your heart. But yet it is so powerful that the Hebrew writer here calls it substance and calls it evidence. It's something concrete. In God's language, in God's economy, it's just as solid and just as concrete as this floor that I'm standing on this morning. Don't worry about it. Don't think that it's something way out there, not something that you can touch. No, this is in God's economy. This is something that has substance. It is strong. It is a sure foundation. It is something that you can bank your life on and count on all the way into eternity. Even though it's not something that you can see, it's not something you can hold on to and say, okay, I've got it now, but I'm going to keep it there in my pocket. No, it's something spiritual. And thus, that leads me to the first point, that faith is the witness of God within the heart. That's where it begins. It is because God is the initiator of faith. If God gives no faith, we have no faith. God is the initiator of faith, not man. He's the God who calls the things that be not as if they already are. And God can do that. You see, God is an eternal God. And He can see everything all at the same time. He dwells in eternity. And He can see the beginning, and He can see the end, and He can see everything in between all at the same time. And that God who can see all of those things at the same time can call the things that be not yet in our space of time as if they already are, because God sees everything. Hallelujah. So when God speaks into the heart of man, something which he sees because he sees everything all together, but something that we don't see yet because we are living in time and we're finite beings, it is as good as done. Faith is the witness of God within the heart. Paul said, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." Now that, to the natural man, is a real problem. You see, the natural man is a natural man. And we like, you know, we like substance. We like reality. We like things that we can get our hands on. We like things that we can hold on to and figure out. But faith isn't that way. And God's economy is not that way. God calls the things that be not as though they already are, and He calls us to walk by faith and not by sight. That means if I go by sight, I can lose my way. If I go by faith, that is that witness of God's Spirit within my heart, it will carry me through though things don't look good from these eyes of mine. And how many of us have found ourselves in places like that already in our Christian life? If we've walked very long in this Christian life, we know that it's that way. There are times when you have to refuse to go by what you see with these eyes and go by that witness of God's Spirit within your heart that God will do what He said He will do. Hallelujah! Do we believe in that kind of a witness this morning? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that word there in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 is talking about Rhema. It's talking about the Spirit of God speaking the Word of God to my heart. And when the Spirit of God speaks the Word of God to my heart, you can bank on it. It's very interesting to me, you know, as I study this chapter and I study it and I'm studying it more and more, it dawned on me in one of my last studies that all the way down through this list, all the way to Rahab the harlot, which is in verse 31 of Hebrews chapter 11, up until there, nobody had a Bible. Nobody had a Bible. And I believe in the Bible. But I also believe in hearing the voice of God. And those two need to come together. The Word of God and the voice of God need to come together. And that's what we call Rhema. When God speaks His Word to my heart. Because all of these people had no Bible. But somehow they heard the voice of God. And somehow that voice of God initiated something inside of their heart, which caused their heart to rise up. And it's called faith. That's what it's called. It is a witness of God's Spirit that He will do what He said He will do. It's a personal word to our own hearts and our lives. And I thought about it this morning. I thought about our precious Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what an example of a man who lived by faith. Oh, he walked through his days. Every day he lived by the witness of God's Spirit within his heart. He walked up to somebody who was blind and he heard the voice of his Father saying, "I want to heal this man." And he laid his hands on him and he was healed. He walked up to that poor widow who lost her son and he was laying there in a coffin and they were on the way to the graveyard and the voice of God spoke to Jesus in his heart and said, "I don't want this one to be dead. I want him to be alive." And Jesus reached out his hand and got a hold of that young man and he sat up right there in the coffin and shocked everybody. Jesus lived by this witness of God in his heart. That God will do what He said He will do. This is the faith of the patriarchs. There's an element of hearing that is involved in this whole exercise. An element of hearing, and that's why we find Jesus saying these words many times. "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church." And by that I understand that there will be those who have ears to hear, and there will be those who will not have ears to hear. There will be those who will open their ears to hear, and there will be those who will not want to hear. But the plea of our Lord Jesus is,
To hear.
When the voice of God speaketh, we should hear. Two people sit hearing even a message like this morning with the ears in their head. One receives the witness in their heart and the other doesn't hear at all. One is moved by what he hears and the other just goes home and it's business as usual as if they hadn't heard anything, though both of them heard the same message. What an awesome thing that is. How that must make our hearts tremble to realize that it could be just that way, that a life-giving word could be coming forth out of the mouth of God on a Sunday morning and I miss it. Because I'm not in tune to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Maybe that's a bit too mystical for you. Thoughts about God speaking to man. But I'm here this morning to tell you one more time, God does speak to man. He does. You go through the book of Acts, you'll find out that's how the church was built. God was speaking to man. Let's move on to point number two. Whoa. Faith is believing. Not enough just to hear a witness that God will do something. But faith is believing or trusting that word. We must believe that witness of God's Spirit. We must believe the witness of God's Word. We must believe that what God said He would do, yea, He will do. There's a matter of belief. It's very interesting when you study in the New Testament, you study this word believe, and you study the word faith, and you'll find out that those are sister words. Many times it's hard to determine which one you should use, faith or belief, belief or faith. They're sister words, though they're different words many times in the New Testament. This witness must be believed. Amen? It's not enough just to hear it. It must be believed. Like it says there in Hebrews, I believe it's chapter 4, verse 2. For the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. And the verse before that says, let us also fear, lest a promise being left us, any of us should come short of it. Let us be careful in our hearts, lest we would also hear a word from God and not believe it. Faith is believing. It is the leaning of a whole heart upon God and His Word, His character, and who He is. It's trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Amen? In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Faith is believing. I think about the example there in Hebrews of those going into the promised land and how they were all given the same promises. I mean, God said to all of them, He said it through Moses. He said it through many examples and many signs and wonders. But He said to the children of Israel, I will give you the land and I will drive out the enemies out of the land and give you their land. I'll give you their houses. I'll give you their farms. I'll give you their vineyards. I'll give you their olive yards. I'll give you the wells that they already dug. I'll give all these things to you is what God said to the children of Israel. Oh, glory! What a promise that is! Well, 12 spies went in to look out and spy out the land and see if things were so, see if it was the way that God said it was. And sure enough, they found it to be just like God said, a land that flows with milk and honey, and carried a bunch of big grapes out of there to show everybody what a fine land it was and how fruitful it was. But there was only one problem. There were also some giants there. And those giants caused 10 of those 12 who got their focus off of God and got their focus off the promises of God and started reasoning in their own minds and trying to figure this whole thing out, and no longer did they choose to believe God, but they choose rather to believe the circumstances that they found themselves in, and those circumstances didn't look good. And I mean, look, to talk about human nature, I mean, look what they said. They said, "These giants, they're so big that we're like grasshoppers in their sight." Imagine that! Were they that big? Do you know how big those giants would have to be if they were the size of grasshoppers in their sight? I figured it out. I think those giants would have to be about 200 feet tall. Just only 200 feet. Now we know that none of them were 200 feet tall. They might have been 10 feet tall, but they weren't 200 feet tall. But oh, that's exactly what the natural mind does with difficulties and circumstances in life. We look at it through the natural mind. We see this thing and it's so big and the mountain's so great. We don't see how we're going to get over it. And we forget to look at it through the eyes of the living God, an almighty God who calls the things that be not as though they already were. We forget to look at it that way. And we start to faint in our hearts, and our hearts begin to give up, and oh, we faint and all that stuff. And the word preached does not profit us, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So, there's an element of belief here. Amen. We believe God this morning. We believe that He is. Amen. And we believe that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. We believe that. Number three, this faith of the patriarchs, this faith is obedience. Oh, yes. It's one thing to say, oh, I believe. It's another thing to be moved into action. But true faith, biblical faith, that faith which starts by the stirrings of the Spirit of God inside of the heart of man, that kind of faith is moved to obedience, or it's not faith at all. That's what it says in James. It's not faith at all. Verse 8 speaks about Abraham, and it says, Abraham obeyed and went out. Now you can see his faith. This thing called faith, this thing is which is substance, this thing which is evidence, is so clearly seen. No, you can't get your hand on it. No, you can't hold on to it and stick it in your pocket. But you can see it. Oh, you can see it. You can see it in the lives of the people by whom it is beating in their breasts, because this faith is a lively faith, and it causes men to do things that they wouldn't normally do, and it makes them obey. There's obedience in this faith. True faith moves us to action. And we only truly believe that which moves us to action. And brothers and sisters, this morning, if someone ran in the back door of this building right this very moment and said, "Fire! Fire!" we'd find out real fast who believed him and who didn't. Amen? Or better yet, if somebody ran in the back door of this building and said, "There's a terrorist coming with a gun," we'd find out who believed and who didn't believe what he said in short order, wouldn't we? That's the way faith is. True faith moves us to action. Abel offered. Noah prepared. Abraham went out and sojourned in tents. Moses chose God's people and lifted up his rod over the Red Sea. There's action in this faith. This thing, this energizing faith, it does things deep down inside of the heart of man, so much so that it moves man to action. Abraham went out, not knowing whither he was going to go. What faith! Oh, what witness! So what overwhelming witness in his heart. Faith without works, without action, without obedience is no faith at all, the Scripture tells us. Number four, faith is full of vision. It is a seeing with the eyes of the heart, a seeing of things that be not. It is a seeing of Him who is invisible. See, that's what Moses did. Moses saw Him who is invisible.
do we see Him who is invisible? Even as we sit here this morning, faith is full of vision. I've noticed through the years when God wants to do something, some work of restoration, some work of radical reform, some work of total change of direction, He usually starts with a man or a few men, lonely men, and bursts within their heart that witness of faith of what He wants to do. But brothers and sisters, when God speaks to the heart of man, that word has vision in it. It's not something that can just stay inside of my own little heart. No, that thing, that word from God has vision in it. It causes you to see things. It causes you to see things that are not there. It causes you to see Him who is invisible. It causes you to see the things that be not as if they were already there. And when you begin to see something that is not there, but yet your heart says it's there, you begin to move toward that thing. And it moves you to action, and that action moves forward. It's not a one-time little thing, but it moves you in a long period of time. That's what vision is all about. Acts chapter 2, we so clearly are encouraged and we understand from Acts chapter 2 that we live in the age of the Spirit of God. Amen? Just like Peter said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Old men shall dream dreams, and young men shall see visions. Upon my handmaidens and my servants I will pour out of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Brothers and sisters, we live in that day and that age when the Spirit of God, which is poured out, what do we see? Young men, what do you see? What do you see with the eyes of your heart? Where do you look when you look? Do you look ahead to the future? What do you see when you look ahead to the future? Have you been alone with God long enough that you can hear clear enough the voice of God telling you what His purposes are for your heart and your life? Have you been there long enough to see that? I'm telling you, you listen, when God speaks like that into the heart of a young man, it totally changes the direction of his life. And he just can't touch the things anymore. Faith is full of vision. Think about it. I mean, God said to Noah, Noah, I am going to judge the world with a flood. And I'm going to destroy this world and everything that is in it. Build me an ark. And this is how I want you to build it. Now, let me ask you, did Noah see something when he heard that word from God? Yeah, he saw something. He saw a world under judgment. He saw a world under water. Even though he didn't even know how that would work itself out, he saw a world under water. So much so, he saw so clearly that he built a boat in the middle of nowhere and there was no water anywhere around. Noah! What are you doing? I'm building an ark. Why? To save any one of mankind that wants to get in it, because God said He's going to judge the earth and bury everything underwater. He saw something, didn't he? I wonder this morning, brothers and sisters, what do we see? What do we see with the eyes of our heart? What is it that God's Spirit, through His Word, has quickened our hearts and helped us to see? Faith is full of vision. Noah saw judgment, the judgment of the world. Abraham saw the face of a holy people of God. He saw a city whose builder and maker was God. That's what Abraham saw. I mean, he saw it! Think about it! He saw it so clearly that he lived in a tent all of his life. And taught his son to live in a tent all of his life. And his son taught his son to live in a tent all of his life. And everybody all around him is living in sealed houses. But Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, they all lived in tents. How? He saw a city whose foundation and builder and maker
was God. And it moved him. He saw something. Number five, true faith is continual. This witness of God, this vision of God, it has a beginning, but it goes on and on. It's a continual thing. There's longevity in true faith. It's not just something that you get way back there and it doesn't go any further than that. No, this faith, it has longevity to it. It continues on. It moves forward. It is like God. It is like God. It has a beginning and it moves forward. It's eternal like God is. The just shall live by faith and live by faith and live by faith. Because of the renewing, inspiring nature of God's Spirit, this faith is renewed day by day, just like Paul said in Corinthians. Every day can be one of those days if we heed the voice of His Spirit. This faith stirs us to action. The nature of a vision and something you see drives you, and it drives you to go forward. There's longevity in every vision. Longevity. You think about it. You know, we say, well, we have a vision for a godly home. Well, amen. That's good and right. But you know, for most of us here, it takes about 40 years to finish that vision out. 40 years. That's a long time. Yeah, amen. You may be here this morning. And you have one little one in your hand. You're sitting here, a young couple, just dreaming about all the future and what God wants to do through you and your husband or your wife. And you look at that one little child and God stirs in your heart and your heart says, I want to raise my family for God. And God puts a vision in your heart and your heart says yes to that vision. I agree with that. That's what I want. Well, it'll take you 40 years to live that one out. So walk with God. Walk with God. He's the only one that'll keep it alive in your heart. Noah built an ark for 120 years. Abraham waited 25 years before he saw with the eyes in his head the promise of a son which God gave him in his heart. Moses, all of his life he knew that God wanted to do something with him. At 40 years old, he forsook Egypt. 40 years he was on the backside of the desert. And 40 years later, he was leading the children of Israel up to the promised land. This vision has longevity to it. It continues. It's not just some little thing, but it continues. Number six. Oh, note this one, brother or sister. This faith becomes the faith. This faith becomes the faith. What do I mean by that? Something that is passed on to others. Because it is real, because it is vibrant, because it is energizing, because it is full of vision and it lasts a long time, it sees beyond the present generation and propagates itself on into the generations ahead. This faith becomes the faith. You understand what I mean by that? In fact, here's the truth of the reality. If there's any salt to this faith that I have, I will pass it on. Amen? I'm going to give it to the next generation. I'm going to make plans for the next generation. I'm going to look down the road. I'm going to look out ahead. And not only that, I'm going to open up my mouth about this faith, and that makes this faith become the faith. In Noah's day, the word that Noah got from God, I'm going to judge this earth with a flood because of the wickedness of man. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. That was the faith in Noah's day. And anybody who believed the faith of Noah got into that ark, bless God, and saved themselves
from the destruction that God brought upon the earth. This faith, this witness that Noah got from God became the faith, and Noah was a preacher of righteousness. It's the same with you and I. It was the same with Abraham. This faith that God spoke to Abraham, and Abraham believed and obeyed and went out, this faith became the faith. And God said of Abraham, I know Abraham. I know that he will command his household after me. See? Abraham's faith became the faith, and he passed it on to Isaac. And Isaac passed it on to Jacob. Do you see what I'm saying, brothers and sisters? Faith worketh by love. Amen? And because I believe the witness of God, I know that it will come to pass. And if I know that it will come to pass because of love, I'm going to pass it on. Amen? I'm going to pass it on. True faith produces preachers and teachers prophesying. That's the way true faith is. Moses was the same. Down through the ages, you look at them. Look at the list of those that we saw. Rahab. Look at Rahab's faith. It became the faith. And all that were in her household that listened to her words were hiding in that little house where that red thread was running down the side of the wall. Bless God, her faith became the faith, and she preached it to her loved ones, and some of them believed it, and they were hiding in that room, and bless God, they were all saved in the days of Jericho's walls falling down. This faith becomes the faith, and it turns us into preachers and teachers. Number 7. I'm coming. Faith is the power of God. Faith is the power of God. What do I mean by this? When God inspires, He empowers. Those two go together. What God inspires, He empowers. For those who walk in the continual infusions of the grace of God. Think of the needed enabling that Noah's enterprise required. Yet Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and he had grace enough to build that ark for 120 years and face all the things that he faced and all the mockings and all that he went through. Yet there was this energizing of this word that God gave to him that caused him to get up day by day and just keep right on building that ark. The will of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you and empower you. Amen. We believe that. When God tells us to do something, the power is in the command. It's in the command. That's the way God is. Paul said, the gospel is the power of God. To who? To all who believed. Look at that. You see what I'm saying? Paul goes into the city of Corinth. He stands up. He preaches to the people. And he tells them all, look, your whole life can be changed if you will believe the record that God gave of His Son. Some of them didn't believe, and some of them did. And the ones that did believe, but unto us who believe, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. I'm telling you, faith is the power of God. And if we think about it, we know it's so. When God speaks, it's done. Right? Let there be light. And it was so. Hallelujah. When God speaks, it is done. Can we see the element of God in all of these points this morning? We cannot live this kind of a life of faith. Only God can do that in us. It is God inspired. It is God empowered faith. We can't do that on our own. I'm not talking here this morning about grabbing some Bible verse, you know, and pumping my faith up, you know, I believe it, I believe it, I believe it. I'm not talking about that. We're talking about the witness of the Spirit of God moving on the heart of man to believe what God said He would do. That's what we're talking about. And there's a big difference between that and this name it and claim it stuff that is out today. As the witness of God, that voice of God comes to the heart through His Word. It is heard. It is received. It is believed to the point of obeying. This inflames a vision of the future which produces longevity and propagation. And that Word comes with power and energizes men and women to do the will of God. And that's how God gets His work done on this earth. And there is no other way that it happens. Lastly, this faith is tested. This faith is tested. True faith will be tested. More than once. This testing strengthens true faith. We look back through all the examples that we've already looked at here in the lives of the patriarchs and in every one of their situations. Their faith was tested. Abraham's faith was tested. Noah's faith was tested. Your faith gets tested, amen? But having our faith tested is not a bad thing. It's not a sad thing. It's not a despairing thing. Because true faith, when it is tested, it is only made stronger. Stronger. Each one of the patriarchs were tested. Sometimes they failed the test. I mean, look at Abraham. He went in into Hagar. That was a failure. That wasn't what God wanted. He failed there. He failed that test. But that doesn't mean that God didn't reward him for his faith. He got up. He kept on going. He kept on trusting God. Then his faith was made stronger. Your faith will be tested by time. Your faith will be tested by circumstances. Your faith will be tested by the command of God at times. Your faith will be tested by unfulfillment. Unfulfillment. Amen? I mean, God tells me that I'm going to get a new body. Right? How many of us believe that? I'm going to get a new body. Where is it? Where is it? My Bible tells me Jesus is coming again. And some say, well, where is He? Our faith is tested by unfulfillment. But if that faith is true faith, if it's real, if there's salt in it, it'll only make us stronger as time goes by. Amen? Faith will be tested. All these aspects of faith were present in the patriarchs and must be present in us. Must be. Hebrews 11 and verse 13 kind of gives the whole sermon in a nutshell. As we read these words in verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. I want you to notice the aspects here. They saw them afar off. That's vision and longevity. They were persuaded by them. That's that inner witness in their hearts. They embraced them. They believed. They embraced it to the point of believing it, to the point of moving them to action. And lastly, they confessed it. That's the propagation of it. You see? It must be present in us. In closing, what are we to believe? What are we to believe, brothers and sisters, this morning? Well, you know, it's different for us than it is for Abraham or for Noah. I mean, for Enoch, he was to believe that God is.
And for Enoch, he was to believe that God was going to take him. For Abel, he was to believe that this was the sacrifice that was acceptable to God. That's what Abel's faith was all about. For Noah, he believed that God was going to judge the earth. So what about us? What are we supposed to believe? Turn over to Romans. Romans chapter 4. And we'll be finished here. Romans chapter 4 and verse 18, referencing the faith of Abraham. And now, oh, how the Spirit of God jumps from the faith of Abraham right over to your faith and mine. Amen? What are we supposed to believe? Well, Abraham, verse 18, who against hope believed in hope. That means it didn't make a lot of sense. It didn't fit to the natural mind. You, 100 years old, your wife, an old woman, are going to have a child. He, against hope, believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And he, Abraham, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. Now put yourself in his shoes. You see, God wants us to have the same kind of faith. God said to Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. And Abraham considered not his own body now dead. When he was about 100 years old, neither did he consider yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He turned away from those considerations. Anything we need to turn away from in order for our considerations? He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He did not allow unbelief to slowly creep in and grip his heart and cause him to faint in his faith. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded. There's that word again. That evidence. Fully persuaded that what he, God, had promised, he, God, was able. That word able is dunamis. Was full of power to perform. Abraham believed that. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. God looked at him and said, there is a righteous man who believed me. Righteous. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justifications. Okay, now, faith comes right home. I mean, right down to shoe leather. Amen? Here we sit this morning. We've got plenty of needs in our life. But God says, I want you to believe that I'm able to transform your life by the power of the gospel. I want you to believe that I am able to translate you into another world. I want you to believe that I'm able, through faith in Jesus Christ, to make you into a different person. I want you to believe that I'm able to sanctify you wholly in every way, in every area of your life. I want you to believe that I'm able to change your life. That's all God is asking you to do. And God is saying, not with one word, but with hundreds of words in the New Testament, God is saying it 20 different ways, I am able, I will do it, I will change you, I will sanctify you, I will empower you, I will give you the grace you need. God has said it in so many different ways, and all God is saying to us is, believe me. Just believe. The record that God gave of His Son. And beyond that, brothers and sisters, every one of us have personal faith issues that we have to deal with. You know, God didn't tell me to move to Pennsylvania. That's not in the Bible. I couldn't find a verse that said, Brother Denny Keniston shall move to Pennsylvania in 1982. It's not in the Bible. Amen? But yet, God speaks to man. And all of us have those personal faith issues. Things which God dealt with us about. Something that God spoke to us about. Maybe it's a husband. Maybe it's a wife. Maybe it's a need in your home. Maybe it's a need in a child. Maybe it's a missionary issues or whatever it is. God speaks to us personally. And when God speaks to us, what is God telling us? Believe me. Believe me. Oh, sometimes we get tested, don't we? And we're not sure. And we get weak in faith. But we just need to get alone with God long enough that all the other voices get quiet enough that we can hear the voice of God again. And you know what God says? He says the same thing He said the first time. You know, when God told us that we're supposed to move to Pennsylvania, that faith was tested greatly. Oh, the accusations that came our way, the warnings of how we would be destroyed if we moved to Pennsylvania. They sat us down where we were going to church and they warned us that our children would be destroyed if we moved to Pennsylvania. They warned us of all kinds of things. And me in my heart, and the sincerity of my heart, I opened my heart to what they were saying. I mean, if someone comes to you in love and tells you all of that, my, we surely need to consider it. And I found myself three times being moved away from the faith of that witness that God said, you're to move to Pennsylvania. But each time I got alone with God and I put the plate away so that I could be quiet before God, and within a day I could hear that still small voice saying again, this is the way, walk ye in it. Three times they derailed me, I'm sorry to say. Three times I was derailed, but each time when I got alone with God, that still small voice said, move to Pennsylvania. I'm so glad I did. I'm so glad I did. Brother, sister, fill in the blanks with an exciting, stretching life of faith. Because God wants you to write your own chapter. Amen. By faith she did this. By faith he. By faith they. By faith, by faith, by faith. God wants us to write our own chapter. And it's supposed to be a beautiful chapter that you can read when you get to glory. And look back over it all and say, yes. It was God working in me all through those years. Let us believe God, brothers and sisters, and by faith walk in the light that God gives us. Amen. May God add His blessing to His words.
Thank you, Brother Denny. That encouragement to faith. Why don't we write a book, from Charity Christian Fellowship. By faith, Brother Luke. By faith, Sister so-and-so. By faith. And we look at the story of Hebrews 11 and we say, wow. But that's not extraordinary. Yes, it's extraordinary, but faith is extraordinary. What about you? What has God said to you? By faith, Brother Denny moved to Pennsylvania. By faith, Brother Mose forsook. You know, by faith, Brother Emmanuel stepped in the mission board. By faith, Sister so-and-so. That'd be a beautiful testimony. Wouldn't that be a blessing? How many of you have something that you've done by faith? Amen? But there are some very specific things that God does. I could tell a story, and I hope every one of you can tell a story. God gave me the faith to believe. And I stepped into that. And lo, it has come to pass. Amen? Thank you, Brother Denny. All right, I'm going to open it just for briefly here for some very short testimonies, if there be any. Is there anyone who wants to share quickly here? We have the mics. I have one here in the middle. Get your hands up. We're not going to wait very long. Another one up front here. Okay, go ahead, Ben.
Yes, Brother Denny, I'm glad, too, that you moved to Pennsylvania. Thank you for the message. That was exactly what I needed this morning. I went through a personal struggle here in the last few weeks on faith. And it was good. I had to search. I had to scramble to get out of that one. And this just really put the icing on the cake this morning. And, you know, we just have this simple verse here that we're very familiar with. In Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, you know, we are saved through grace and faith. And it's not of works. And I believe that when we stumble in our faith, I came to realize in the last couple of weeks that I believe it's because we waver in faith because of sin that we live in. And that was a provoking thought to me. And I had to do some, I had to do a lot of soul searching on that. So, thank you and may God bless.
Thank you, brother.
I also am so thankful for the way that God spoke to my heart this morning and just confirmed, I guess, a journey that He's continuing to take me on, and I'll try to keep it brief. To back up a little bit, when Dale and I were courting, I struggled a lot with fear. Am I making the right decision? And I worried and I fretted and I doubted. And that continued on until we were engaged, I'm sorry to say. But as we got to know each other better and as the Lord worked in my heart, the joy was that by the time of our wedding day, I had no doubts. And I have never had a doubt since. And some of you who I've shared with more know that that is something that Satan has really given me struggles in my Christian life, is doubt. You know, well, now, was I really saved then? And am I really saved now? And is this a sign that I am straying from the Lord, you know, and listening to those lies has really given me a lot of concern, a lot of worry. And I don't know, maybe a couple months ago, as I was praying about that again, the Lord brought to my mind and to my heart our experience in our courtship, my experience in our courtship. And I thought, if He can do that in my life here on earth, in my courtship, in my marriage, I know that He can do that. Remove all those doubts for me in my walk with Him. And so that's something that I would just like to have you pray with me on, that I have been praying, is that that just as I have never doubted since, and I never expect to doubt that I should have married Dale. I just, you know, it doesn't even, I don't spend time thinking, oh, well, maybe I'll doubt again someday. And that's where I long to come to in my walk with the Lord, that there will never again, I'll come to a place where I will never doubt again, and not worry that I'll doubt again. So if you would join me in prayer with that, and I just thank the Lord for the message and just for that confirmation of what He's working in my heart.
Amen. God bless you. Continue to walk in faith. Another one?
I praise the Lord for the this morning. My heart is full in a way that it hasn't been for a while. I was really encouraged by how the two messages went together. When Jeremy first got up there and he had the list there, my heart kind of went to, yeah, okay, let's clean some things up. There are some areas of my life that lack discipline. And then that was my mind saying, well, you're pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps. So just trying to work through all that. I'm trying to say this clearly. There have been times in my life where I lived the way Jeremy says they live at school, at the Scent School. And so I know what that's like. And I know how it kind of feeds itself. You know, let me explain it this way. So that food's put before you and you don't like it, but you make yourself eat it. And next thing you know, You come home and you don't want the chocolate stuff. You want something else, and because you realize you feel better and what else. And that's like the fulfillment of the faith. You had to trust Jeremy that he knew what he was doing instead of going, "You're crazy. I'm not going to eat that stuff. You sure that's all right?" You have to trust Jeremy. There's some faith in that, and it evidences itself by a change in your actual body. So what I'm trying to say is, then when Denny got up there and he started putting forth what it's like to live by faith, the thought came to my mind, this isn't college that Jeremy is. It's almost like it's kindergarten. If we could come to the place where it's normal to live that way, and then how far we could go. I hope you understand what I'm saying. If we could have our ear attuned to hearing the voice of God when, in a sense, that disciplined life has quieted all the other voices. And that's how, it's like an incremental step so that we could actually be able to all sit here peacefully when there's a terrorist back there. So I hope this is edifying to you. I just want to mainly express how thankful I am to the Lord that He hasn't given up on me. I have needs in my life. What I'm trying to say by that is I have not lived as disciplined as I should, and I fooled myself into thinking that I was. And I would really covet your prayers as I seek to walk this out in my own family, that I would be leading my family and my wife in a way, you know, like Denny said, that we're preparing them so that the day ever comes where they're in a situation like the Scent Team, that it's not a shock. And it goes so far beyond just our personal disciplines. So anyway, I'm very encouraged by this morning. God bless you.
Thank you, Jill. Back.
I'd just like to say amen to the message, and I guess I especially have to say amen to what Brother Ben was saying about it being a sin when we don't walk in faith. I know there's been times when I've struggled about different issues, maybe especially about the situation in my home or whatever, and I've had to come to grips that really the root of the problem is when I'm struggling, I am not trusting Jesus.
Thank you, Sister Miriam. It's good to hear from you.
I was tremendously blessed by the message this morning. It reinforced what God has been speaking to my own heart all week, and in the past month or two, I had faced something that was just a hurt in my heart that I wasn't quite sure how God was going to minister to or how He would, what answer there could be. But He did assure me that I just knew that God did have an answer for that. And in the past, He has proven that He is always faithful. And then a week or two ago, something came up that seemed suddenly like a huge mountain in front of me, and it was so huge to me that for two or three days, I didn't even let myself think about it. I just ignored it and tried to think of something else. And then I was reading last week in John 14, verse 27, just a simple little verse of, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And for some reason, that just knowing who it was that said that and what He's capable of, to me was both a command, a promise, and assurance that if He tells us to not let our hearts be troubled, then He will only say that if He has an answer, and so that it doesn't matter how huge this mountain is, I don't need to let my heart be troubled. I was just so thankful that we have a God with answers, and even when we don't know what that answer is, our heart can be at peace even before we know the answer.
Amen. One more here.
By faith, I went to a revival meeting in Bainbridge, New York, 7 years ago, where Brother Denny was preaching, and God changed my life eternally. And I'll forever be grateful to Him that I listened to that still small voice.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I think it would be excellent if there would be someone who wants to gather some testimonies, get them, put them on paper. By faith, Brother so-and-so did this. By faith. I mean, that's really how it is. That would be encouraging. That would be a blessing. All right. I have also learned that when God does speak to my heart and gives direction or gives a vision,
Yes, he empowers. Yes, he brings, and he does bring it to pass. He brings it to pass. When God speaks a vision into your heart, he will bring it to pass. And that is where, that is the faith that comes by hearing. When I hear the voice of the Lord saying to me, like he did to the disciples, he said, go to the other side of the sea. They jumped into the boat and they began to go. But on the way, what happened? Oh, a test came. And the storm came. They trembled. They were afraid. But really, the word of the Lord had said, go to where? The middle and die? No. Go to the other side. And if God says it, it'll come to pass no matter how big the storm is. And so when you hear God's word and God gives direction to you, you can trust. You should actually expect a storm to come. And then you, by faith, continue through that.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.